Welcome to another episode of Professional Awesome Hypercritical Radio. Today's show is presented by Fuel Lab. Fuel Lab has been a proud supporter of Professional Awesome for quite some time now. We have their fuel surge tank in our S2000 as well. It's been using their brushless fuel pumps in our Evo for a while. Great products. Be sure to go there. Check out their website. Even check out their new quick change fuel surge tank. And courtesy of us, you get a special discount code. Just type in Tyrone at checkout and you get a little bit off. So do me a favor, do us a favor, and go check it out. And while you're at it, might as well give us the goddamn reviews I keep asking for. But anyways, to the show.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hypercritical Radio brought to you by Professional Awesome. Today, I'm Hayden Lowe. No, I'm not. I'm Mike Lewin, and I'm joined by
Devin Childs.
Daniel O'Donnell.
All right. So what we're going to talk about today, at least starting off what we're going to talk about today, is we talked about it a little bit on, I don't know, multiple podcasts at this point, but the new format that GridLife is using for their track battle setup in terms of, one, on the live stream, and two, just obviously from a gridding and, I don't know how to say this, mechanical standpoint, that's not what I want to say, from a organizational standpoint, from an organizational standpoint. So they debuted it today. Now you know what date is. They debuted it today, so it was on a live stream. We got to watch them do things, stuff and things. And you got to see how people stacked up and how they stacked up into the new format. So to go back over again what the new format is, each run group, is it individual? They're not gridded by times anymore. They're class. Gridded by class. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps a lot. So that's one big thing that I think needed to happen. It sucks in some regards, but I think it's appropriate in others because one of the hard parts about time attack, especially for the lay person, is that they don't know who's racing against who ever. And now only the track mod and the unlimited guys went out together today, as far as I remember. But the other classes, because there was enough entries in each one, were completely independent. And so that means that everybody that was on track at that point all were racing in the same class. And it made it a lot easier to follow the action and then understand who's racing who and who's in whose class, because before they would grid mostly by time. And so you could have people who were in track mod and street mod, you know, the fast street mod guys would be up in group A with track mod and unlimited guys. And then, you know, you get the point. It made it a little confusing. And then the slow, even like, you know, some slow track mod, some slow unlimited guys would be all the way down with the club TR guys or something like that. And that made it extra confusing to understand who was racing to who at any given moment. So I like the first change, which is people going out in their classes. I really like that. I like that a lot because I think it does help normal people understand. Because now, I mean, even me watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know everyone in this group is racing against each other. They're all racing against that time for each other. So that really did help me. Even though I kind of knew that, you know, the people before, it just makes it a lot easier.
And also them having a different color, all the colors of the door cards are the same per class, if you didn't notice that. It's kind of hard to tell on live stream because it's kind of like a contrast issue.
Sure.
Yeah, all the colors per class are different.
Yeah, and I think they've done a little bit of like that in GridLife. Hold and what?
GridLife's gone racist? Putting all the same colors.
Oh, okay. God damn it. Anyway,
that's the title of the show. Just
GridLife and GTA have done a little bit of colors in the past, just to differentiate, like different door cards in the past, to differentiate. But I think it is being. I think it's differentiating a little bit better now, and it's easier to understand. So you're watching this live stream. You know who's who. You know what's what. And then on top of that, they really have been working on the graphics and, I guess, the data. It's not really data. It's kind of data. But instead of just putting car numbers, now they got car numbers and last names. And since all the classes are individuals, now you don't have to try to figure out who's in street mod, who's in track mod, who's in unlimited, right? You don't have to figure out any of that. You know that all the guys that you're looking at on the screen are all racing in the same class, which is super helpful. And on top of that, gridding for the, what do they call it? What is it? What is it going to be called when the top five move forward?
It's like
some battle.
Battle.
Yeah, we're going to call it battle. So they're going to be each of the classes. The top five will move on after four total sessions. So
It's like a practice. Oh, practice.
You're right the first time. It's three.
Three? Oh, practice.
Three qualifiers.
Yeah. Yeah. Practice, which is qualifying. Okay. So you qualify in, and then the top five are who, quote unquote, move on, or the battle session, the party session, where obviously at that point, if you're in the top five, right, you're actually competing for a podium. And so we kind of talked about that before, where maybe it should be a little bit more, especially if there's cars that are super close. And there are some classes where people have been super close. Like, think of it reminiscent of like F1 gridding, right? Or F1 qualifying. There's some cars that are, you know, within 2/10 or 3/10 or something like that. And I'd love to see if, you know, I know it's harder, but I'd love to see some of those cars that are really close still be able to jump up into the main show, if you will. If they're that close. Now, if there's a huge division between first and sixth, then no, whatever, you're done. But if there's not, it'd be interesting to keep them in. You know what I mean?
I think it might be a thing when they got bigger field. This field is kind of small being CMP, but
yeah, no, but it's a good field to test on. Like, it's perfect.
100%.
And so I think that is interesting. So I think it's, so far at least, I think it's gone well. I think it, you know, gets people excited. Right to, I think there's two things it does. One, it forces people to push early and put down a lap because they want to be part of the show, which is the top five in each class. And then secondly, it puts them all in the same class. So now the spectator knows who they're looking for and what they're looking for. And with the live stream and with the classing, now you're seeing who those top five are. So you know who the fast guys are. You know they're pushing, all these things. So I think it's a good change overall.
Kind of tell by the viewership from the live stream today, it seemed relatively high compared to previous live streams, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how much people have watched it in the past. I'm a little bit out of the loop on that one, but we'd definitely ask the team, like, we'll ask Kyle and see what he thinks. But I think I saw like 250, 300, something like that,
mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty okay amount, especially for something that hasn't been raced at before, and it being one of the, not the first event, but being an early event that's not quote unquote as important.
And it being a Friday before 5 o'clock when people are even off work.
Sure. That's a good point. Tomorrow might be interesting. We'll see. But then again, Grid Life again is putting the time and energy into providing this live stream that's difficult to provide, and they're doing a great job at it. I think that alone, right? Like, I know that it's expensive. It's difficult, all those things, but in the world we live in today, I think it's of critical importance because after event coverage, I think is somewhat helpful from a commentary standpoint, because then you can Monday morning quarterback that shit. But I think that from a viewership standpoint, it really needs to be then. And nobody wants to just read times off a sheet. Doesn't make any sense.
Couple things. That you just got me thinking a little bit.
No.
I should stop thinking?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
First, I didn't get to watch the live stream today because I was busy doing real work, like walking Kingsley and playing basketball.
I knew it was bullshit. As soon as I heard real, I'm like, yep, that's some bullshit there.
But I was walking past Isaac while he was, he had the live stream going while he was working on shipping out our customers' precious products. And I thought he was watching like Daytona or some fairly high.
That is an incredible amount of smoke.
Ooh, he said all cap. You let him do that?
I think the stream's good. I don't know if it's Daytona. I mean, Daytona's not.
Yeah. But
not F1.
True.
But
sure. It's not F1. But when I thought it was a professional series, which is.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
It's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Just tuning in, I could definitely see that being what is it called? What is it called? Autovision? What the hell is that racing? God,
Close enough. We're not good with this.
Yeah. I'm just blanking tonight. You know, you guys know AutoNation, AutoVision, whatever.
Super Auto Mega Vision.
Speed Vision?
Speed Vision. Fuck, there it is.
But here's another thing. I'm just looking up on Formula One's YouTube page. A highlight show after is actually, I think, a good opportunity. So Yeah, inundated with so much media right now. Like, I can't possibly watch every show. I can't possibly watch everything I want to watch. And so, like, I like the LA Lakers. I don't know why. I'm not even that big into basketball, but I'll watch.
What's wrong with
you? Yeah, I know. There's something wrong with me. I'll take that. I'll watch the LA Laker highlights after every game. And instead of, like, I do really enjoy Formula One. I know you guys don't, but I'll watch the free practice
highlights. I like the engineering.
Yeah.
Man.
But that's, you know, they've got 2 million views on their free practice highlights.
Holy.
For the Australian Grand Prix.
Sure. Okay. So maybe there's some value in, maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's some value in production after the fact. I still think that's a little difficult.
But not like a whole show.
No. Yeah, something simple.
Don't give me 45 minutes. Give me, like, these are 3-minute videos. Right. Show me, like.
Yeah, no, I'm with it.
Give me a 5-minute highlight of, you know, each class. That would be kind of sweet, I think.
Yeah. I think YouTube TV, right? You watch a football game and you're like, catch me up and just play the highlights. Catch me up
with the highlights, yeah.
Yeah. It needs to be that. And that is the most ADD way to watch, right? Like, Devin's going to want to watch everything because he wants to watch all the things that happen in that football game because it's important to his, you know, his style of viewership. But for me,
his self-torture of
being a Bears fan. I'm like, catch me up on the hotness. And then they throw in a bunch of shit that doesn't matter, even though I asked them to catch me up on the hotness, right?
That's fair.
And so... Yeah, I think that'd be, I'm in agreement with that. I think that, again, I don't know how easy or hard that is, though, because if you look at the stream, right, you almost need somebody like picking out, like, oh, that's something we need to highlight later. That's something we need to highlight later. Those are, you know what I mean?
You need that person.
Yeah, exactly. You need somebody who's like writing down segments of video, like, oh, somebody did something awesome here. This was a really good looking, like, you know, turn, right? And just, so that they can clip that later and throw that in. And that's a...
Actually, when you think about it, like the Coda race this year, so like Grid Life has a like a little 1-minute clip, like 2-minute clip of like a summary.
Yeah, they do that.
And it has more views than the actual races do.
Where's that at?
It's on their YouTube.
It's, is it? YouTube or Reel?
YouTube. Okay. Under videos. Like I said,
I'll check it out.
Motherfucker.
I didn't see it. I'm gonna look.
And it has like the, you know, of course, the James three wheel thing is got the most views out of everything. Oh, I feel so bad for Stubbs.
got beat by Gimpy.
What's wrong?
Got. Yeah, and so I think the new format's gonna lend itself to those types of things.
Agreed. I think all in all, it's a good change. It's weird. We haven't really been too harsh on them lately, so that's not good. We're not holding up to our hypercritical name.
Oh, we will. We'll think about other things.
The racists.
That's fair.
Yeah, racists. Right. That's true.
Done.
I hate that. I think they're doing a good job. I mean, I hate it. But I think they're doing a good job.
So our viewership is going to go down. We need to be more angry. Hate sales, not love.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man, I was about to say something I shouldn't. Anyway. Anyway, so that's interesting. Go check out that shit. Let us know what you think of the new format if you've watched it already. If you haven't, by the time this comes out and there's another event or whatever, go check it out. Tell us what you think about that, the new format. And if you, as a viewer, are liking it better that way or not, and we will supply that feedback to Grid Life. I'm sure, you know, they were asking a ton of people if they like the new graphics and stuff like that, so, you know, we'd be happy to share some of that feedback as well if we, you know, if people would like to yell at us, and we can compile some of that and hand it over so that they know. But I think it's interesting.
Next subject.
I was talking about before we started recording, how we'll never be rich because we sell products designed for bright people, and the amount of bright people on the planet is not nearly as high as the amount of dumb people.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fair.
And so we're destined to...
Yeah, it needs to be simple products, and that's what sucks. I mean, we're in racing, and you need to be somewhat intelligent to use the products.
Yeah, we're a niche in a niche inside of a niche.
Right.
So I'm disappointed. I was having dinner with Isaac earlier tonight, and we were talking about the type of racing we want to do. I'm like, man, we need money. And yep. Like, the sales are improving, and I'm stoked on that. But it's like,
this ain't enough.
It's not like just random posers can't buy our product. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. I think Mike, who's done the design, I'm so proud, and it's really well engineered and really well thought out. Plenty of room for improvement. Still, you know, we can do all that stuff. But it's still, our clientele is bright. And that's limited.
Yeah, they have to understand at least a base. And we've talked about that before, where if you have to educate the customer on what you're selling, then you're automatically handicapping yourself. And we're going to be in that world, I think, you know, forever. Obviously in racing, I think we're going to be in that world no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People want to buy wheels, right? That's fine.
They look cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple enough to understand. And even people who buy wheels do it wrong, right? Plenty of times. So just I'm trying to think of like car things that don't take intelligence, like
a hood,
shift knobs.
No,
a fender.
That's too much. Nope, that's way too much. The gas mile improving devices that you plug into your cigarette lighter.
Are we going? Yep. We going big dumb.
We going big dumb.
I like the EMP devices.
Oh, the EMP. Got them. So yeah, like if you're buying one of them cigarette lighter 12 volt fuel economy improvers, I'm pretty sure there's the Venn diagram of people who bought those but bought our products are complete, like there's no center, right? Those are separate circles. That's difficult.
Ooh, that's two different pieces of paper, bro.
Yeah, those are on different planets. You might have bought one of those and chalk to eat. I think those are about those are kind of similar, right? In terms of intelligence range. But yeah, so that's what sucks. So I think I've thought about it a lot and try to make things that are more accessible, or try to figure out a way things to make, try to make things more accessible, but I just don't
know. Yeah, sure. I'm just saying though, like I'm trying to think, if a customer needs to install the rods, like somebody will ask a question and it's like, well, it depends. And then you have to go into, you know, a paragraph of questions.
Sure.
And then the customer has to write a paragraph back, and then you write a paragraph back, and then back and forth a few times. And then all of a sudden they do a great job. And yeah. Like, or the diffusers, like, okay. Yeah, sure. In our technical forum, people are constantly asking questions, and that's cool. That's great. Like, I love it. But, and the customer's becoming more informed, and they can help out the next customer, you know, when they get a little bit more knowledge themselves, which is like chef's kiss, beautiful, better for the world. But when it takes, you know, weeks of research before choosing our product, it's just, it's tough to find, you know, we get the knee-jerk reaction customers that are like, ooh, shiny.
Yeah, I mean, that's why...
add more glitter. That's what you need to do.
Well, to an extent, carbon fiber.
Yep. Glitter? Carbon.
We're doing
carbon
glitter.
Glitter's definitely cheaper. Tell you that.
We're not doing glitter. Oh, my God.
Come on. Oh, you always do this.
you always do this. All I'm saying is that soon it sounds like we just need to release the professional awesome dog brush that I spent way too much time on, and it's a way lower level of intelligence to buy.
Sweet.
Now that I think about it, I'm not sure. Do you think people understand when they just need to hook something to a vacuum?
It's challenging.
You can use it without a vacuum. There's lots of options there.
This is the hope of professional awesome is resting on Mike's dog vacuum shoulders.
I'm just saying that it's probably the most engineering dog brush vacuum thing that's ever existed, because I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm. So pause. This is what this podcast has devolved to.
Anyway, if there is products, or you have an idea on how to make our products more accessible to people, please let us know, because we don't have any idea.
I've got a couple ideas. I don't know if they're going to be good or not.
Okay, well, now you have to tell us.
No, I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, I want to do, like, for one, I want to do door hinges, right? Because those are...
Okay, so different products. You're saying different products.
Yeah, products that would just want to make life easier.
Sure.
How does the door hinges make life easier? Genuine question.
Because fucking anytime getting inside of a cage car sucks, right?
So yeah, you want to make a, he's supposed to make a quick release door hinge.
Correct.
Mm. Right, so not a door hinge. I mean, it's different. Yeah.
It's a dyno, sure. Get into the enclosed trailer. Like, sure. Anytime when you just like, these doors are fucking stupid, that's when time to take them off. Troubleshooting, doors are in the way.
Yeah, well, it was even worse when our doors wouldn't open on the Evo. See? Now they open all the way. All the way.
And other than that, I got a couple ideas written down, but we'll see. We'll go through. I haven't passed the paper day ideas yet.
I got to make some, and the other thing is, like, we made those tire temperature sensors, made some tire pressure sensors, did all these things. And the freaking level, right, that you need to be at to understand mm-hmm. any of these things is just high. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and we did make them pretty easy to use and all that, right? Comparatively,
there it is.
You don't need to be a coder to understand it, but right. You still have to have a level of, and that's I think one of the biggest problems, and that's what I think I need help with a lot of the times is that, again, I don't know what people know and don't know, and so I have no experience or know a way to understand how to help. Or what a product should look like in terms of ease of use a lot of the time. I can make it pretty easy to use. And obviously, you only can go so far realistically because there's variables. But I think that's one thing that's always been difficult is like, what's that level of, oh, yeah, this makes sense to other people. And plus, when you're working on something, there's a lot of assumptions in there, right? You've been mm-hmm. doing it for so long. You just think, you know, oh, this is obvious, right? It's not obvious.
It's not, right.
It's that whole joke about the end user, you know, when you're a computer programmer and the end user freaking sleeps on the roof instead of inside the doghouse kind of thing.
Well, speaking of this, I don't know. Oh,
there's like a joke, right? Like, oh, this is really obvious on how to do this, right? Or there's that one mm-hmm. video of that girl who's like, you know, whatever, computer programmer for an app or whatever. And it's like, this is very intuitive. The app's very intuitive. And it's one of those block puzzles, right? Like as you're a kid, right? You know what I'm talking about? Where there are different shape holes in the plastic. Like you have a plastic piece, it's got a bunch of different shape holes. The blocks match the different shaped holes, yeah, right?
Put a circle in a mm-hmm. circle.
Right, exactly. And you tap it through, you got a little hammer or whatever. Okay, it's a kid's thing. And so then it's like a video of her doing that, but then it's a video of like somebody using it incorrectly. But it works. And so it's like the guy takes yeah. the circle or the square and he puts it in the square and pushes it through. And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. And then he takes the circle and moves it towards the circle and then moves it over to the square because the diameter of the circle yeah. is the same as the squares. Mm-hmm. One of the, yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they pull up the half circle and they move it over to the half circle and then they moved it back to square. And it's that video is awesome for the record. I love that video.
It kind of reminds me of CAD stuff, right? Like, I
sure.
do something completely opposite from what the teacher did and still get it right, still counts.
Yeah, but that's like, especially in CAD, it's like how you use the program. And you know, there's like right-er ways to do things, but there's not necessarily the rightest way to do things, right? Like, it's best to keep it simple and modifiable and all these things, so there's some best practices. But yeah, if you can make it shaped the way you want to make it, then reasonably, it doesn't matter that much if it's not done the same way that I do it, right? And so it's interesting. I don't know. Anyway, if there is a way to make products easier, tell us, please, because I don't know.
You're giving an audience too much homework.
Yeah, seriously, I don't even know. I'm lost.
Audience, if you could make a better podcast than us, then make it, then give it to us.
Please, thank you. Thank you.
My question was, like, how do we help people... like determine what's too much or too little arrow? Because this seems to be like a common theme and problem. Like even when people buy our products, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I mean, people want everything. They're not ready for everything.
the more reliable power you have, I feel like, you know, you can get away with more aero in general. That's probably like a good metric to use.
I don't get it.
Meaning if you can push the drag out of the way, then great. But
I agree there, yeah.
Aero, like, that starts to compromise a lot of other things, particularly inefficient aero. We're just not, like, in general, grassroots motorsports people aren't good enough yet on data acquisition to make that useful, I don't think.
Well, like we talked about before,
does that make sense?
A lot of people don't have the low-hanging fruits correct first before going to level 500, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, that's a common problem. It's annoying. And so, like, people will want things that they don't need always. And I think, like, again, we talked about how we build cars before, is that we try to keep things as simplistic as possible by selling components that work so that you don't buy things that you don't need, right? Like, you know, we don't want to sell a bunch of stuff that you don't need. And
every time we make the race car more simple, it goes faster.
Yeah, that's so true.
Kind of. Like, we swung for the fucking fences, and then we're like, oh, we should dial that back a little bit. Oh, we should dial that back a little bit. And it's like, oh, yeah, that works.
Yeah, I think the people that generally go too far immediately with aero, and then they want things, like I said, I don't have a problem with most people's want to go faster and have bigger aero. I just find that most of them do it without solving, like you said, the base problems first. And then there's problems with suspension, there's problems with body control. There's a lot of problems that come along with that, right? And so, like, my simplest example is that, like, people come to us, they got all this aero, they got all this stuff, but they still overheat and they've got other problems and they haven't even ducted a radiator yet, right? It's like, you did all this other stuff and you're just wasting your time because the rest of the car doesn't work.
That's fair.
You know,
what?
Motorsports is so holistic. Like,
look at you using your big words, holistic, fucker. Oh, look at you. Oh, that's not a big word, huh? Okay. All right. Understood.
Holistic. That's three syllables.
No, it's too much.
That's a lot for me.
Is it three syllables? I'm kidding. Anyway. Holistic.
But
it's a systems based
approach. There's so many compromises. People think of big error or whatever, like, it's like, well, yeah, we can talk about that, but it's so hard not to talk about the whole freaking car all at once.
Yeah, we talk about other things. I think like 90% of the people that contact us, we're like, oh, I want this and I want that. And we're like, do you really?
Do you really though? Like, do you really though? Like, think of it, but like, really though?
It would be so much easier if we just said, okay, and then built them an aero package. But we don't do that ever, because most people who ask for scanning and CFD and all this stuff don't need it at all. Like, not even close. It's not even like, yeah, not even on the radar.
Well, I find it interesting that I don't think people also reset the systems once you peak at one and you, like, you know, you can have one good system and then now that has made another system weak. They don't really go back and address the weak one. It's kind of like keep improving the good one. And then now
you're focusing on power, system. You're saying? Like,
or
what?
Yeah, mostly it becomes power versus aero, really. It's in, like, more power you get, the more reliable a car is going to be, right? And people don't, like, go back and readdress suspension. Like, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I got coilovers and that's kind of it. I stopped there. Like,
But I think that's also kind of why we see good results and we're helpful to the customers, is because a lot of times they'll come to us with an idea of what they want and then we'll talk them out of it completely. Because we're, I mean, no joke, like, it's the same thing that I do in my J job. Customers will come and they're like, I want this. And I'm like, do you really? No. And because they don't know what they want, and that's okay. You don't have to, like, you don't have to walk into a room and know exactly what you want. I don't walk into a doctor's office and go, I want you to do exactly this, because I don't know. I don't know shit. So I'm going to let them stick their whatever to do whatever they need to do. Right.
You know what's funny? So there's research suggests that
I know
doctors with the highest ratings on like healthgrades.com, stuff like that, have the worst health outcomes because people go in exactly like, I need a CAT scan. I need this. I need this. And doctors that listen to their patients like that, the patients are happy, but then
they're dead.
Yeah. Services and shit they don't need. So it's kind of hilarious.
It makes you, service doesn't mean good, right? Doing what the customer wants doesn't necessarily mean the right outcome.
But the customer's always right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
I like the customer's never wrong, but they're not always right.
I don't even know how to take that, but anyway.
No, I mean, you sound like you're getting mad. This is the anger I came here for.
No, it's just that I always find, so like, my thoughts are, what is the point of going to see someone who's an expert and then not listen to them? Like, well, it's okay to be
in your face.
Yeah, the expert is supposed to just confirm what I already know, stupid, just so I can go back.
And right, exactly. There's plenty of times where you go and talk to somebody and they give you bad advice, and that's fine, whatever. But I feel like if you're doing it right, that's a rarity compared to getting good advice, right? Because you clearly went to that person or that company for a reason. And if you went to that company for a reason, not heeding their advice seems dumb, right? What does everybody else think? I mean, in the world, I don't get it. I'm just saying, like, I go to places where if I don't know something, I want to talk to somebody who's smarter than me, who knows more about a particular subject than I do, right?
Is there anyone smarter than you, Mike?
Mm-hmm. Cooks are smart. Cooks.
Ooh, the person who made that Popeye's recipe, I tell you what.
I tell you what. And, no, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I always come back to, like, I'm not an expert on vegetables. Why the fuck would I talk about vegetables? Like, I hate that shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you ask a question, you fucking, well, generally is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, generally, when you ask a question, you want to know the answer from somebody who knows more. Or, I mean, or you can take the crowd approach and see what the consensus answer is, right? I don't know. So it kind of depends on the subject, I suppose.
I just don't get it sometimes. And it is something that I find curious is why go, I think it's a mindset, right? Why go talk to a supposed expert? Why go ask for support? Why go through all of this and then not listen to the person who's trying to help, quote unquote. I don't know how to put that, but obviously is in a position to help, right?
That leads me to a question. So what if you go let's say you go to 3 or 4 people that you consider expert or very knowledgeable on the subject, and then one person says something different than the other three. Well, like, you quit. Drastically different than the other three. Then what?
I think there's always like, I don't know. Trying to think about how the way other people think. I'm really trying to like put my head in that mindset, right? Because I have a tendency to do a lot of research before I ask a question. From an engineering standpoint, not on the internet, like just asking for people's opinions, but like from an analytical standpoint, I try to do a lot of research before I engage someone else into a conversation because I want to have at least the base level knowledge, or you got to pay for it, right? It's one or the other. If you don't come with a base level knowledge, then you're going to pay for it. At least most of the time. So for me, I wonder that same question. I don't know how to move past a situation where experts are telling you different things without just guessing and agreeing with one.
That's fair.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of people that can baffle with bullshit, but at least having a somewhat base knowledge of the situation will help you decide whether.
I see what you're saying. So if you come in with a knowledge of the subject that you're asking about, maybe not an expert level, but a competent level.
Yeah, one of my teachers used to call it a gut check, right? Like, how does it feel in your gut? But if you have a shitty gut, then you shouldn't trust it. But you have to have some, you know what I mean? You have to have a reasonable bullshit detector slash gut check. Like, does this make sense? And I think that's, from an engineering standpoint, I think that's actually easier a lot of the times because there's an engineering basis for a lot of the questions you're asking, right? And understanding the mechanisms behind the questions you're asking, at least from my perspective, again, no fucking clue what other people are thinking at any given moment. But yeah, that's what's hard. I mean, that's difficult. I'm trying to think of like subjects where I'm like, I want to go find a subject that I know nothing about and then ask a bunch of people about it and see what happens. Experts about it. See what happens.
Sex.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fair. Yep. I'm staring, but very fair.
Yeah. I don't know.
It is a particular subject that people probably don't know near as much as they think they do.
No, they don't know shit. Oh my gosh. People are bad at life. There should be... Okay, we're not getting there. Anyway, the real question is, customers come to us, right? They ask for support. We tell them they don't need anything they just asked for. And either that goes extremely well, or they just stop listening to us.
Yeah, it goes extremely opposite. They'll go to somebody else and say, "Yo, you do need this." Or they might ask
about, I mean, that's happened. That happens plenty of times. But if we don't sell them something and they want to buy something. Like, I know people want to buy something sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, then flip side, right? We can educate about other products that actually might not be as good as advertised. And then they still won't believe us because the herd of normal people think it's good. So,
yeah, no, that happens all the time too. Yeah. And then they can just continue to be slow.
So I want to know,
okay,
there's been multiple instances of, there's at least five incidences I can find online from reputable sources where people throw coins into jet engines for good luck before flights.
Oh my God. We're not talking about this. What are you? Yeah, it happens all the time.
These people learn or are they just
learn? What are you talking? They're first time flyers.
Yeah.
They're first time flyers.
Next time they fly, are they like,
throwing it in the second time?
They're throwing it in the first time.
It's a freaking whale.
Yeah, yeah, I understand, but.
Who started
this? I understand tradition? They're throwing in the first time.
This feels very, this feels like I'm going to get trapped.
we can leave it at that, but I'm just trying to think, like, are these people customers of something else and they just can't learn?
All right. Anyway, professional awesome behavior analytics. It is interesting. So, like, the question, I guess, for everyone else in the world, because I don't get this, is do you come and just want to buy things, or are you actually looking for advice a lot of the times? And I think most people would say they're looking for advice, but I'm not sure if I believe that.
That's not the truth. I don't think the truth. Sometimes people just want to buy something that's cool. Like, that's how I am with wheels, right? Like, they just look cool. I don't really give a fuck about your advice, what's light or not. It just looks cool. But some advice, too, like, you might not be asking for advice, but you're asking for reassurance. Like, you already made a decision, right? So you'd be like,
"Yeah, no, it happens all the time.
What do you think about this? Do you think this is a good idea?"
We ask that question. We ask leading questions all the time. I know that Grant and I ask leading questions.
I group chat us like that all the time. What do you guys think about this 2JC S2000? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I already did it, so it's cool. Cool.
I already gave you that advice.
I just realized something, though, since I'm talking psychological stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So there's an effect called the IKEA effect, where people value something.
Putting in a little work.
Putting in a little work. And like that's why they like have you add an egg to like a Betty Crocker cake or something. It's like they don't really need to do that. But by doing that, you can say you made a cake. And so people are like, "Oh, you think it's tastier or whatever?" It's some sort of mental thing. So really? I'm bitching about our products. Yeah,
Brooklyn's the exact opposite. The second she has to make something, she's like, "This tastes like shit."
It's dog water.
Like if it takes too long, and especially if it actually doesn't taste that good, then it's like extra terrible. It's like I cooked this and it's not good. What the fuck am I doing with my life? And I kind of agree.
Need to see a therapist.
I'm kind of the same way. If it takes too long and it's bad, it's like, God damn it.
Even if it's like, but the thing is, like, if you cook it, if you cook it, right? If you cook it and it's good, it needs to be exceptional.
You think?
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. If it's bad, I'm like, fuck? I wasted my time. I wasted, if it takes an hour, it's like, I wasted $50. I could have went and bought something.
Right, exactly. 50. You wasted an hour of time, and you wasted all the supplies to make it, which is probably like $30 on its own. And I could have just bought some other garbage,
right?
And not done the work.
I know my standard of McDonald's, how that tastes. Okay, when I want to hate myself, I could rather just go buy it.
Exactly.
I feel like, yeah, guys, standards are too low.
Oh my gosh!
Listen here, I am poor. Okay, Dan, poor. McDonald's is my standard.
That's.
And
you are
Jay-Z swaps is 2000.
Hey, we got priorities around here.
That's why I'm McDonald's.
But yeah, so I'm bitching and complaining, but I wonder if the customers feel like we have better products than they actually are because they have to put work in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this. We talked about this a while ago, right? Like there's some effect there. Like, I don't know. I don't know. This is a real question. All those other questions that I asked earlier, you don't have to answer. This one I actually want an answer to. There you go. Shoot. So if you stayed until this point in the podcast, all those other questions, just throw them away. The real question I want to know is if we talked on Discord. Devin hates Discord. He's about to throw up.
Oof.
I'm quiet. If we talked on Discord and had an actual audience who could like listen to us and then say some things and react to the things we say so that we could maybe get a better understanding, except for sitting here in our little echo chamber of not understanding things, would that be better? And would you be interested in that if we did like a show at a specific time every week?
Or YouTube, because Discord is fucking stupid.
Okay, or YouTube, doesn't matter. Anyway, live show so that you can be like, hey, those are people and I want to yell at them too.
We really
need to know.
Like seriously, hit somebody up. One of the three of us.
Yeah, we've been talking about the possibility of doing that because I want feedback immediately because
let's be honest, yeah. You're gonna forget tomorrow. So
that's right. Exactly it.
And that it's not forget, it's that my ADD has kicked at that point and I'm on a completely different fucking planet now.
It's like a lot of excuses for forgetting.
In 9 years, I'm going to remember.
Oh boy.
you got upset.
You got them all wound up.
It's not forgetting. It's in there somewhere. It's just now I have different priorities because I'm a goddamn gerbil.
Yeah, it's put into the no longer give a fuck section in your brain.
Yeah, the vault of, I don't know what you want to call it, annoyance. The vault of annoyance.
What do you even do in Wisconsin now, Mike? Because I don't hear from you as much. Like, what's... Are you just... And you don't have your project cars up there.
He's gathering cheese, talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I got it.
What else do you know, Wisconsin? Shovel snow.
I did that.
Get some Culvers, because they got more Culvers than any other fucking store. What else?
No,
Quick Have trips. You wrestled the oh, third
Quick Trips. Definitely goes grocery shopping at Quick Trip.
In a pinch.
That's about it. That's all you can do. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, snow, Quick Trip. Yes, he doesn't go hunting yet. I mean, that's the next thing. That's how you graduate to be in Wisconsin.
That's not gonna happen.
You're the hunter fishing. But
if you could go hunting barehanded, Mike, I bet you would.
I would be more into it.
If not, I could choke the life out of an animal.
No, it's not the personal. No, it's that at least it's difficult.
Look into my eyes.
and now we're going to get a whole bunch of people that are like, hunting's hard. And it's like, shut up. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
We're going to talk about tip-ups. Oh, that's your next thing. Talking about tip-ups, because that's what they do at work every day.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
I'll admit that there are some things that are difficult in hunting, but sitting in a blind waiting for a deer to come by because you covered yourself in piss is not one of them. Sorry, guys. Anyway, moving on. Now that those people hate me.
Those people. Okay.
We don't all have to like everything that each other does. We can aspire to be different. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, and I would do it with a knife, Dan. I'm not going to choke it out with my hands. Thank you.
Well, we have spiraled in this episode.
Yeah, this is bad. No,
isn't that what you want?
Yeah, I love it. Don't get me wrong.
I've been working on the garage, I've been working on redoing some of the garage. I've been working on the new products, a couple other things, setting up a kind of an engineering station, if you will. I have a Corrado. That too.
A what?
And, did you get
a Volkswagen?
Uh-huh.
Oh boy.
Man, Wisconsin is breaking your head.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean that's mostly what's happening, and then obviously working. And yeah. So
let me verify what a Corrado is. Oh yeah, dog shit.
Verify.
God, these things are hideous.
We need Hayden. I need Hayden. I need some.
Yeah, because you need people to like ugly garbage. Dog shit.
They're great. I've always wanted one. Anyway.
What are you gonna do with this thing?
Yeah.
Besides set it on fire.
Well, no, I'm not gonna set it on fire, but I don't know how much longer I'll keep it. I'll probably sell it. I've fixed some things up, got it better than it was, and then I'll probably sell it here shortly because I really want to put the LT and the 10 speed. I want to get all the parts for that. So I want to get that up here, the Cobra up here, and put the LT in it.
Sweet. I'm excited for that.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh boy.
He knows why I'm excited
to get it out of the way.
Was like, oh
yeah, because
out
of my, I know it.
Out of my 1400 square foot garage in Lafayette, he doesn't have enough room, and his Evo has to sit on my lift for months.
Yeah, get it out of there. True. I'm with him. Yeah, get it out of there. I mean, why are you being so stingy? Like hogging up your garage? Fucking what an asshole!
Hogging up my garage so that his Evo can sit on the lift.
Yeah.
Have you got the uprights for that yet?
Yeah, they're there. I took pictures of them. I need to edit the pictures for Dallas and then find a day where.
I like how you got uprights for that when we need rear upweights for the actual Evo.
Hey, that's my own monies. So if you want to spend
team money,
just charge it to the company.
It wasn't a promo deal is what I'm saying. I'm sure you got a deal, but it's not.
Yes. Far from it.
Yeah, I mean Dallas is great and he's a one man show. He can't give away things.
Correct.
It's like giving away half of his house.
Yeah.
I get it. No, they're good stuff.
You see, he's working on, I think it was Model 3 uprights?
Yeah, Teslas.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's a good,
business. What's good about that, too, I think, about the Tesla stuff is that because there's so many of the same model, like, if you think about other car manufacturers, we completely diverged in our fucking kind of plan here. No plan. So we didn't diverge. I lied. No divergence. But if you think about like car models and stuff, there's a lot of Model 3s out there. Like in terms of like the only other car that's got a similar amount is like a freaking Camry.
Mm-hmm.
Or an F-150, I guess.
F-150, Dodge Ram, and Silverado, still best reselling vehicles in the U.S.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it used to be like a Taurus, right? But cars haven't been selling that well for a long time. But like a Model 3 sells really well and it's consistent. So like we've talked about this before, is that making parts for a Model 3 is probably a very smart play considering how many of that particular vehicle that hasn't changed a ton are out there waiting to be modified.
That's what you heard. I heard we should start making some truck parts.
It's a good point too.
Air Dance with the F-150s. Hell yeah, brother. Let's go.
Truck people will spend the money they freaking love to spend money on their trucks.
That's right. Making wings. Even the diffuser can fit on an F-150. Hell yeah, let's do it.
Plenty of rooms.
Fuck yeah, bud. We can get extra, extra large ones underneath there. We'll be sick as fuck. You know how easy it will be to make a fucking flat panel for a frame? Oh, hell yeah.
I wonder though, does any new truck have a under tray?
In the front?
True.
I don't know if it goes all the way back
to the back. I gotta imagine.
I know they have engine stuff. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're
thinking of
like a full
under fuel economy.
Electric F-150, maybe there.
Yeah.
The Lightning.
bottom.
Show me your insides.
Well, how about undercarriage? How about that?
There we go. Undercarriage.
It does. Well, it's still pretty wrinkly, though. So,
no. Wait.
Yeah, it's not. Let's see. There you go. That's our next market.
You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Found it?
I didn't. Ooh, look at that. I'm better at Googling something than you. Oh, wee. You must be tired.
Okay. Nope. Still, what the hell is wrong? Oh, I do see it. I do mm-hmm. I see it. That's not that good. They got some panels under there.
Yeah, it's still super wrinkly, though.
All right. Well, we're just telling everybody what we're going to do now.
Well, our nose. That would be a sick project, though. I'm just throwing it out there. Do whatever you want to do.
I'm curious.
See? And the seed curious. Has been planted.
Huh. Hmm. Huh, he says. Hmm. Show me the bottom of a... Hey, Google. Show me the bottom of a Hummer. It's a GMC Hummer, right?
So that's not the Hummer EV.
Okay, that's flat as shit.
It's a lot better.
That's flat as shit.
Damn near came, and I'll tell you what.
Okay, so we can't do anything there. All right, so we've diverged substantially in our original conversation, but yeah, it's interesting. No, we're not going to make truck parts. Maybe we'll make truck parts. Probably won't make truck parts, but
probably should.
Yeah. How did we even get here? We were talking about Dallas. Oh, yeah, I got it. Model 3. Makes sense. Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess before we close the show out, is there any news with your Evo, Dan?
Evo 10? Not too much. We, mentioned earlier, we got the uprights from Dallas, and they're sitting in a box waiting to go on. I need to, test everything.
When is that? What is the goal?
The goal is to make a street class car, but now that Ben Lin's Evo 9 is no longer competing, then I don't know what the heck the point is, because I was going to openly threaten him.
Why is it no longer competing?
Yeah, he blew up his turbo, and then I think I forgot exactly what he did, if he put the stock turbo back on.
That's correct.
And there's some like knocking noise within the engine.
Oh, shit.
And so he hasn't messed with it at all after he fired it up and heard that. Isaac wants to take it off of his hands and fix it for him. And I threw that offer out to Ben Lin, and he didn't even warrant that with a reply.
That's politely left the rig. Go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Awesome. Said, good luck, motherfucker.
But it's... there's just so many little things that need to happen to it. And the engine, the replacement engine has been torn apart and is at the engine builder's shop, and the cylinder head has been dropped off with four pistons. So
yeah, the four pistons, I was surprised.
In what regard?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing.
It's just
from fucking
knowing,
effort.
Knowing who you are.
I've put in every single thing I've learned. Like I said to Mike like 6 months ago or something, it's our entire lifetime we've been talking about finishing projects. And
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
It's like this time it's just got to get done. And unfortunately, I don't have as much time to dedicate to putting the parts on that I'm spending the money on, which is annoying. So yeah,
is it still on the lift?
Still on the lift. Well, yeah, you saw the picture where I put the
I just wanted to make TC sure.
105 on there. But so Grant has got. For those who don't know, I spend pretty much every night that something like the podcast isn't happening, I spend with Grant working on the race Evo. But Grant has got family coming in this weekend, so it actually gives me free time to work on other projects. So there might be just a little bit of time for me to do one or two things. Mom and Dad? His sister, I think it is. So
sweet.
So yeah.
Well, the uprights are easy to put on, so.
Yeah, but the thing, yes, that's no problem.
But the coilover setup sucks.
Correct. Yeah. I need to do a lot of measurement with the coilover setup to find out exactly what I want to do with that. So there's that.
I need to find an LT and a 10 speed. Freaking A.
Sounds like it shouldn't be that hard, though.
I just don't like too many options, and I don't know what I want.
Hmm. Did we just talk about this with customers? So you got money you want to spend. You don't know what you want. Hmm. Interesting. Interesting how it comes full circle. Hmm. Only update with me is I got track day with the Cayman on the 8th. And
I kind of want a Cayman.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
One of these days I'm going to drive a car again. It's been like...
You could drive the Cayman if you come up here.
Fuck. Come up. Down.
And down.
Oh, down. That's right. Yeah, if you come down. Eric and Jason will be there. Plus, I need to take...
Where are you going?
Autobahn. My benchmark track.
I guess. I don't like Autobahn. Are you doing north or south?
Then? South. My benchmark track again.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure that it's not like it's not a members day or some shit.
No. But I do with our buddy Miguel, I do get in whenever he goes. So that's pretty nice. But no, this is with GPS. But I got some new Kumhos. And,
ooh, the Kumhos.
Yeah. And just like refining a couple other things. And I'm trying to see if we can... How much further
the I get? 730s?
Is that the yeah.
The new?
Mm-hmm. I was gonna do the Falcons, but they were fucking $400 more and I couldn't really justify it.
Really?
Yeah, the Kumhos are 800. So couldn't really beat that.
For the set?
Yeah, full set.
Really?
It's not bad. Yeah, it's cheap.
How?
I don't know. 255 front.
What's the
275 rears?
That's a pretty good price.
I know. Trying to tell you. Other than that, then I am going to make a trip down to Bringer's to document the cleaning and disassembly.
I just want to call it Bangers.
I know. I'm going to call it Bangers or Brazers. It's tough.
Okay, as long as we're on the same page.
Yes. So, you know, making progress on both cars. Pretty nice. Still poor, but it's pretty nice.
I've been thinking more about Dan's conclusion as well, and I need to drive something. I haven't like literally driven something in 10 years. Like for real.
Yeah, seriously. Same these.
It's like it hasn't been no 10 years.
No, but
it's been 10 years. Not for Dan.
Like,
have you ever seen me on track, Devin? No. Okay, so there you go.
That's true. But you did go ice racing.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
All right, fair
enough. I mean, it does. It's fun, but it wasn't.
I have never seen you on track. You are 100% correct.
Exactly.
Hmm.
It's been a long time. I took the Cobra on track twice with the stock engine.
What year was that?
We're not talking about it.
I just want to make you feel old for sure.
It was in the aughts.
Ooh, holy. Back when I was in high school days.
It was in the aughts.
Oh, man.
I mean, 15, 16 years ago, do you remember, Mike? Like, we were racing, I was racing 5, 6, 7 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
How did that go away?
Well...
I mean, that should, first of all, much more simple stuff. Second of all, we would go to like, we would do Gingerman's Wild Wednesdays and stuff like that, which was just awesome.
Sure. Yeah,
it was a good time.
Yeah. True.
And I'd love to do Gingerman Wild Wednesdays like again.
I
don't know if they even still have that, but that's what, so like to your point, that's why I want to put in, that's why I'm trying to find an LT with a 10 speed because I'd like to put that in the car so that it's as simple and easy as a stock package, right? Take a stock engine, stock trans, put them together. I'll put an oil cooler on it, all that fun stuff, and keep it as stocky stock as a package as it can be. And then take that out on track because without upgrading it or whatever, I mean, car weighs 2,200 pounds, 21, whatever, probably be a little bit more with the LT in it because of the, well, because of the 10 speed versus the T56 that used to be in it. So the 10 speed's more heavy, but I'll take some other shit out. It'll be 2,200 pounds again. It'll make 400 and whatever horsepower. And that's plenty. I mean, that's plenty of horsepower with the 10 speed, you know, fast shifting, all that stuff. Don't have to worry about anything else. It's all stock. It's all closed, all this stuff. So to Dan's point, that's kind of what I want to do so that it's drivable. And then I can drive it on the street. I can drive it at the track, get all that done, make it super simple, call it a day.
That's fair. I'm all for it. I think we should also host a track day one of these years.
We've talked about it.
So we all need to have running fucking
It's just
cars.
Another thing that nobody has time for. Right. And then, yeah, we talked about, and this may be something that the customers can reach out about and be interested in, but we talked about hosting a track day that comes along with some what's the word I'm looking for?
Advice.
Advice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coaching,
consulting,
coaching. Coaching,
just insulting,
consulting. Yeah, insulting. That's what I would say. Yep, there it is.
No, insulting, okay.
insulting.
No, that's what I'm there for.
Yeah,
hey, you. Yeah, you still fucking suck. All right, have a good time. Bye.
Bye. No, but doing something like that where we do some consulting as well as part of the day, and I've thought about that as well, and I've wanted to do something like that, but again, we need to free up some time to be able to do that, and I think. Again, to Dan's point, Dan makes a good point every 10 years. Dan's point.
That's the name of the podcast. It's no longer Grid Life is Racist. Dan has a point.
Yeah. And it's get a car, make it relatively simple so that you can drive it. Focus on reliability. You know, everybody wants to go faster, fine, but focus on reliability and actually enjoy yourself. Because especially if you do some, like Dan's car is going to be monster fast. Let's be honest, right?
Oh, yeah.
From a street class perspective, it's going to be monster fast, right? It's, would it Ben run it, Gingerman, a 37, 36? I don't know. Something like that, 39, 38, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's going to be sub 40s easily. Dan driving, all that stuff. Plenty fast for most people. And hopefully by the time he's done, it's going to be, you know, somewhat reliable, hopefully fully reliable, but. Anyway,
fingers crossed.
I would love to have a car within that range, right? The Cobra or otherwise, runs a 135. That's it. That'd be fun. Like, faster is sure is fun, you know, to an extent. But being able to drive the car, because all of a sudden it's 10 years later and you don't have a car to drive.
I'm with you, man.
So that sucks.
I am with you.
So that's why I'm trying to find a stock. So if anybody knows an LT and a 10-speed, a good place to do that. That can be retrofitted and swapped well, because that's something I'm still looking into is how to swap the LTs. So, swap the LTs and the 10s, right? Do all that, right? I don't know yet. Still trying to figure it out.
Ben Lynn ran a 136.3.
Yeah, holy monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fast. Come on now. Right. That's a quicken. That is a quicken.
Nah, he ain't shit.
All right. Ouch. So yeah, that's what I want to do. Anyway, that's all. Bye.
See ya.
Psst. It's that time again, boys. I need those goddamn reviews. You can say that Devin is forcing you to do them, or you can leave some genuine feedback, and I'll be sure to read them and get them back to the boys. In the meantime, you can join our Facebook group, which is Professional Awesome Technical Forum. You can follow us on Instagram at Professional Awesome Racing, and we have a Facebook regular page with the same name. But until then, we'll talk to you later, and we really appreciate you listening.